Well, welcome to the Memoirs of Abiding podcast. I'm Chris Bryant. We wanted to start something a little different and counter to what many have been taught or learned through experience. Our topics will be practical and theological, focusing on what the early church thought. What we are going to talk about isn't some new idea, but rather an old idea gaining traction again. Our tell is sharing our experiences and looking at the Bible in this material. Our ask is that you will take it into your own devotion time and ask the Lord how to best apply it. We will talk about this material each week, and we have blogs addressing practical applications at www.memoirsofabiding.com. We hope you experience God through talking about His Word with us. Welcome back to Memoirs of Abiding. We've been talking this month about idols. Last week on our episode, we talked about the idol as it pertained to materialism. And this week we're jumping in. We're going to split this one two ways. The first one we're going to enter into is the pleasure, the entertainment, those things that we surround our life with there. And then the second part is performance, being able to do everything, to be everything. And so joining us again this week, we have both Allison and Ricky, and I look forward to hearing what you guys have to say on this.
Thanks, Chris.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
So the question here is, we're going to start off with kind of the same format for all four of these, but why is there such a pull from either pleasure, entertainment, however you want to word that, or performance? If you pick one of each, or you know, whatever.
I would say for both pleasure and performance, and entertainment, it takes you away from your reality currently, and it allows you to just unplug for a little bit. I know that's the truth for me with watching, like, TV is my thing, or movies. It gives you a chance to seriously just unplug, take your mind off of whatever is going on, step into a different reality for a little bit and just be. I think about this with performance. I know we're doing one or the other, but as an athlete for quite a big chunk of my life, so performance is a big part of that. And in all reality, stepping into performance and all the things that take you to be whatever the outcome is, it also distracts you because it takes your mind off of a lot of different outside world things and lets you focus in on specific aspects.
Yeah,
I agree. I agree with that completely. I think also there are some generalities that apply across the board. You know, one, you know, we seek pleasure in performance because we're looking for meaning in our life. And that, you know, that comes back to some of the core issues of abiding in Christ. You know, what exactly is sin? And, you know, back in the sin series, when we talked about sin is more than just doing evil stuff, it's seeking for significance and security. And so why does somebody choose pleasure and performance perhaps over materialism or some other kind of idol in his or her life? And I think the complexity of the human condition is in play. The temperament or the personality of an individual combined with the complexities of his or her life, their childhood, their adolescence, their choices. So pleasure and performance would not be habituations I have. Materialism is not a habituation I have. But I do have mine, and we just haven't talked about mine, or maybe one of our listeners, they have something else. But we all have something, right? So I think for me, the answer is that the pull is so strong for individuals whose temperament and personality is part of their makeup, plus whatever complexities they've dealt with in life, drove them to pick these particular issues and become habituated with them. That's how I would look at it, I think.
Yeah. And I kind of was in the same ballpark as Allison. Even after one of the most difficult seasons, or during one of the most difficult seasons of my life, the will to escape the craziness of my life, I would dive into books, and I read and I read and I read. I think I read 65 full 300 or 400 page novels in one, like, 6 to 8 month period, because it was too painful in my life to even think outside of it. So I dove into books. I wasn't so much TV. I didn't have enough time to watch TV. But while I was at work on break, I could read a book, or during lunch, I could read a book, or, you know, during, after my kids had gone to bed, I could read a book. And so that was the entertainment, right? The pleasure side for me was to dive into that. Before that, though, even when I was in the Navy and when I was in sports, it was all about performance. But my performance was, can the right people that I care about see me doing the things that stand out? Can my dad, who I earnestly desired his approval to show that I was more than, does he see what I'm doing? Does he see how fast I've moved up in rank in the Navy? Does he see how well I'm doing with football? Does he see all of this stuff? And of course he saw it, but he wasn't a man who spoke much about it. So I never understood it. So I would just keep doing performance. I want to be the best. I want to be the best. I'm going to be the most knowledgeable. I'm going to do all of this stuff as quick as possible so that I could, like you said, Ricky, find meaning, find purpose. Even being a Christian and even walking through, like, the birthright with you, Ricky, still my mind didn't comprehend that all of that could come from God. And we'll get into that part. But yeah, it was a great draw in my life, almost a bent that I needed to show others that I was a high performer, or in those difficult seasons, I needed to escape reality to go into this own little fantasy world of, you know, whatever this book was or whatever this book was. So I can definitely understand that. So
yeah, that totally makes sense to me.
And I can relate big time, especially with the performance need, because it was, like you mentioned, wanting to gain the attention of certain people in your life. And I think for me, like, I passionately loved what I did. I was in swimming and I really enjoyed the time and enjoyed being in the pool. I did want to achieve the ultimate dream of Olympics. That was more of an internal drive, but I do remember having periods of wanting approval from my coaches, or maybe approval from peers on that. But when I reflected, I reflect back on my career, taking all that time and taking all those steps provided this illusion of I'm in control. So I mean, everything was mapped out. I knew what I was doing day to day because I was reaching toward a goal. And so it really did provide this comfort, this sense of control. And I know that upon retirement, it's like this whole big loss of identity, loss of control. Nothing's as consistent as that time period of being an athlete. Like, it was very consistent. You knew what you were doing. And I know I have a lot of friends that when we retired from the sport, we've all struggled through this because it's a drastic change. But then, like, I was thinking about it this morning with my quiet time and then even on the treadmill, and it's the performance came into my walk with Christ because I was a Christian. I grew up in knowing God. new grew up, even going to college, going Bible studies, doing everything and thinking about God. But the performance really seeped into my faith side of life as well. And hearing what the fruits of the Spirit are and hearing how a Christian should be. And then you hear the message from the world of, I don't want to go to church because there's just a bunch of hypocrites and all of that. And I really reflected on this, like, deep rooted for me in the performance side of needing to perform to bring in people to the faith, bring them into the freedom of Christ. But I was reading in Galatians and I'm like, that's not accurate. Like, God keeps no record of wrong, but when we just live with him, and I'm probably jumping ahead, but when we just live in his love, that's when those fruits come. But if we're trying to do it and perform on our own, that's not bringing people to Christ. That's bringing them to the law and having to live a certain way in their own merit, which is exhausting.
Yeah.
So I really resonate personally with performance. It's been a big part of my life for a very long time. So I'm glad we're covering it today.
It's interesting that athletic performance kind of thing, or maybe somebody else, it's singing or modeling or whatever, you know, performance on the job. So growing up, I was very, very athletic as well. But I didn't really have a love for athletics. I thought I did. Yeah, I thought I did. You know, I remember like memorizing the top 10 batting averages in both the American League and National League every day. Because, you know, the guys competing with what we knew, as well as competing on the field or the court or whatever. But I was so thankful in my early 20s to start walking with Jesus, to realize that all of that, I enjoyed the camaraderie, don't get me wrong. I enjoyed the game, all of that. But really what drove me so hard was the whole appearance side of it, you know, whatever. Thankfully, I went to a little tiny school, so it wasn't all that big a deal to be known as a jock. But it was the emotional impact that I got from it that was addictive. I found meaning in it. I found purpose in it. But it's temporary. And if it's temporary, when they're temporary, like pleasure and performance, then ultimately they're going to be empty. Ultimately, they're going to be empty. So, yeah, I think, would it be safe to say that almost all of these idols are going to come back to some of the generalities of finding purpose and finding meaning, significance, security? Yeah.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Because I think speaking directly to listeners, you know, dear one, look at your heart, look at your past. You know, what were those things going on, the environment of your life, and what pushed you to the thing that you seek to get meaning from in your performance, your day-to-day performance, or your entertainment, your pleasures, you know, because they're not bad in and of themselves. To compete is a good thing. To watch a great movie is a great thing. It's just that when we occupy ourselves in those ways, when we drive ourselves in those ways, that's when it becomes problematic. So looking in our own lives, personally, looking back over time, and the Bible refers to that as exposing the darkness, you know, bringing up some of the nitty gritty parts of our past. And even the term confession, which in the New Testament literally means to speak in agreement with, is to acknowledge along with God that something is filling a hole in our soul to the point where we leave God out of the picture.
Yeah. Actually reminds
yeah.
It reminds me when we're talking about the performance aspect in sports, what brought to mind was a man named Eric Liddell. He was a Christian. He was a runner back in the 20s, the other 20s, the 1920s. Yeah. And he was admitted to the Olympics, and he was a runner. So his favorite race was the 100 meter or the, you know, 100 yard, whatever it was at that time. But what he found out was they were going to be held on Sunday. This was a race he was most favored for. This was a race that he loved, but he refused, and he pulled himself out early enough that they never fully scheduled him. So he started training for another race, the 440 yard or the 400 meter. But why I bring that up is because when we are Christ followers who abide, we have the choice in a lot of these to find our meaning and purpose in being the athlete or in allowing the athletics to be an outpouring of our love for Christ. And we can do that in it. You know, as we, like for me, being a dancer now, I could easily make dancing an idol in my life. Absolutely. I could go that way. I could dive straight in headlong, and I could probably increase my skill and knowledge of dance pretty rapidly. But by doing that, I would identify only as a dancer instead of someone who dances. So then, instead, to keep that idol from becoming something I worship, I instead, every time that I dance, I realize that this is my opportunity to display Christ to those around me through this mission field, reaching a bunch of different backgrounds, right? And I think that's what Eric Liddell essentially did in his own life, as you read through his history, that Christ was his object of worship. And so when something was set up against that, he said, no, I can't. That's not going to be my idol.
I think that's a great example. I remember that movie coming out way back in the day, and I had never known about him. But one of the things, now I don't know if it was accurate history or not, but one of the things that was, he would say to his sister, I feel the Lord's pleasure when I run, when I compete. See, now that's getting it right. Pleasure and performance out of the pursuit of excellence, because his meaning, his purpose, his significance was found in an abiding relationship with God, who is permanent, who will never let us down, who will always give us significance and meaning. And then the performance and the pleasure, both of them are fulfilled in the way it ought to be. So you end up getting both, and you don't have to give up performance, you don't have to give up pleasure in order to find significance in the Lord. But it goes the other way. When we find all of our meaning in materialism, the pursuit of pleasure, the pursuit of performance, we do lose out on a fantastic relationship with the one thing that can fill all the holes in our soul.
I completely agree with that and can attest to that, because like I have a tattoo on my right foot, says the cross, and it has FTGOGA, and it means for the glory of God alone. And that was my starting foot forward. So that was the last thing I saw diving into the water. And it's something that I did in college to remember, so that focus of people, Chris, that you talked about, I needed to remind myself why I did what I did. And that was for his glory, for his purpose. But it really wasn't until starting this abiding journey that really came to a complete picture. And I remember going for a swim and diving into the water. And I think I would always pray to God. And then oftentimes I'd get into whatever it was that I was doing. And we're talking about performance. It can transcend to your job, parenting, performance can be picked up anywhere. But for me, it was in that athletic realm. And I remember diving in and literally just laughing with God and having this joyful experience with him. I was talking with him. I could see him swimming right next to me smiling. And nice. I was like, this is how, like, it, I got out of that water and was like, this is what it's about. So it's just like you're talking about, like, you could go to whatever it is performance-wise, whatever is filling that hole right now. And I think about when I did that, it was so rocky. I mean, you could chase after it, and yeah, it gave you a sense of identity and control and purpose. But when you poured all that time and energy into something and then it, the result didn't occur, it crushed you so hard. And I talk about this with some of my athletes, even with the CMC work that I do. We talk about what you said, Chris, like God's given us a platform and a gift and something we truly love. And so now we talk about, like, when we go to practice, when we go to meets, it's no longer we're there for some goal that we're trying to achieve. We're going to go all out with every piece of our heart as an act of worship to God, because he loves us so wholly and completely. And we just want to pour ourselves out, just like a lot of times we get in a worship song and it just really resonates and you just heart cry, pour it out. And so we talk about this, take what you do performance wise, and instead of make the mindset be God, an act of worship for him. It's where he's got you right now, and just pour your heart out for him instead of for yourself or the world or something like that.
Yeah. I want to add on to that, because you hit on something that illuminated Romans 12:1. And I want to tie that back into Eric Liddell, because you hit it. Romans 12:1 says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. One of the things that I talk about with the groups that I lead in our discipleships, when we get to Romans 12, is relating what a sacrifice was in the Jewish culture and in Judaism. And it was about giving up something that was important or valuable in their life for whatever it was. If it was a sin sacrifice, it was a sacrifice to bring about a forbearance of God's judgment on them. And then I say, okay, but why is Paul specifically saying a living sacrifice? Because remember, all of your sacrifices that in the Jewish times, they were killed. The doves, the bulls, the sheep, the lamb, all of it. They were all killed. And the blood was used. So then all of a sudden now we're supposed to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. And then what does he say? This is your true and proper worship. So when we live each day as a sacrifice, by sacrifice, what we're talking about, and we'll get this to the end, but I wanted to bring this up because, Allison, you hit on this, was as I live my life in this surrender of what my flesh wants, i.e. the idol of performance or pleasure, instead of getting my meaning and identity out of that, if I instead live my life so that God is the fulfillment of the things that I need and my performance is an outflowing of my love for him, just coming out, not out of obligation, but because I want to do my best in an act of worship over him, then we truly start seeing this idea, Ricky, that you're talking about, where performance doesn't have to go away, entertainment doesn't have to go away, but where's my heart in it? And it goes back to Eric Liddell. One of the last statements that he had made about his life, he was quoted in saying, in reference to how he's given his life to God, it's complete surrender, complete surrender. So when we think about that, we go through now we start talking about the fears that are associated with this that are going to come up. But ultimately, we have to think about this in relation to how I live my life as a living sacrifice. So, yeah, looking at performance, I can perform really well. There's nothing that says that we should be underachievers, but where's my heart in it? And that's kind of the question that we can ask ourselves when we're about to do something, when we're playing a sport, or when we're doing well at work, or when we want to make sure that our financial portfolio excels in whatever it is. Where is the heart of this? What is my reason for doing this? Is it for significance? Is it for meaning? Is it for security? Or am I doing this because the Lord has given me a gift and I just want to shine for Him?
Yeah, I think you're spot on. If you look through like a list of fears like you've talked about or, you know, highlighted for Allison and I in our pre-podcast chat, you know, the fear of lack of control, of fear of not being enough, fear of missing out on good things, or fear of feeling pain. But those are all indicators of another aspect of abiding in Christ that we've talked quite a bit about in the past, that those drivers are emotion-based. They're based in desire. And Scripture tells us that sin, you know, and you call sin a lot of things, iniquity, evil, but you could also call it dysfunction and ignorance in some cases. They all have a desire behind them. Somebody would say, well, who desires fear? And not nobody. But there's a desire to escape a fear. So fear of lack of control, fear of not being enough. We desire not to have those fears. So we bury them. We cover them over. There are ways to deal with fears like lack of control or not being enough or missing out on good things or feeling pain. There's nothing wrong with not wanting to experience those issues. But the way to overcome them in abiding in Christ is one thing, overcoming them through the pursuit of pleasure or the pursuit of performance is a never ending, never fulfilling, you know, self-replicating problem in life. You'll oftentimes hear great athletes, like I saw a sit-down conversation between Steph Curry and Michael Jordan. And they share something that most great athletes talk about, which is they're usually driven more by hating to lose than they are by winning. The fear of losing is a greater driver than the desire to win. And you think about that. Okay. Well, somebody said, well, they haven't done too bad, have they? No. You know, Michael Jordan changed the game, and now Steph Curry is changing the game. But what if in the middle of their greatest run, they suffer an injury that does end their career? And I don't know either of them, and so I can't speak to them personally, but just taking that statement, I hate to lose more than I love to win, that kind of thing. I would hope and I pray that there's something stronger behind them, driving them, because the person who's driven by the desire to escape the fear of not being in control, not being enough, not being good enough, not missing out on good things, not feeling pain, is setting him or herself up for a great fall. Something can stop you from that pursuit, completely stop you. And then what? Then you're empty. Then you're broken. Then you're depleted. Then you have nothing. And you turn to then something else to medicate the pain. I think at least in one of their cases, I've heard Steph Curry, I don't know whether Michael Jordan has ever said it, at least I haven't heard it, but I have heard Steph Curry talk about his relationship with Jesus is the thing that drives him, you know. So when he says, you know, I just hate to lose, if that's driven because of his relationship to Jesus, then it makes sense. But if it's the ultimate driver, then it doesn't. It doesn't make sense whatsoever, because there's always going to be some kind of desire to cover something up, to protect something, to put something off, to medicate ourselves. And it's never a good solution, because something can always disrupt that. And so the fear of all those things clearly are drivers for people in the pursuit of performance or pleasure. And again, you know, to those that we want to encourage, those then become metrics. We can look at our own life. I can look to the past. Why am I so adamant about pursuing this pleasure or this performance? You know, did something happen? Was it the environment I was in? Have I not asked the right questions? Did I answer the wrong questions? Then a person can see, and then, dear listener, if you haven't ever met Jesus, that's your ultimate solution, is to trust the Lord with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind.
Yeah, Allison, how about you? For these fears, I mean, you said performance was a big one in your life. Did any of these fears resonate with you as you were able to, I guess, use a little introspect later, or did you have other fears that came up?
Well, if I had fears, I was thinking about it. They all root back to these. Like, it's just another mask for that. So, like, fear of not being enough. Like, I wanted to feel loved by this. Or lack of control. I really, all of it just roots back to all of these. And I was really just trying to find my identity the whole time.
Yeah.
So I knew God, but in my brain, what it had just been taught to do was to earn, to work, to work, to work, to work. And it was that way in my faith, and it was that way in what I did. And I think what's tricky about performance and tricky about, you know, athletics, music, maybe it's coding, whatever it is that you enjoy doing, and there is the performance of doing that and working it, is it can quickly train your body to work. For me, I had my faith, it translated to my faith. And then I had to work to earn God's favor. So, like, I was more in the law instead of the freedom that Christ gave us. So I was nullifying everything that Christ did for us. And being on the flip side of this, I mean, my job still asks me to perform, as most jobs do. You've got being a parent as well. If I, for 1 second, step into this world and into my job or into being parenting to try to find love, to try to find meaning, purpose, identity, any of it, it never ends well. So I will attest, like, it's exhausting. And sometimes, you know, it sneaks up on me because I've been in the performance realm for so long. But there's times, and like, I just went through a period of this where God was revealing some idols in my life. And I, as he revealed that, I stepped into a performance space. Like, okay, these are idols. I need to stop doing this. And then every time I would go to it, I'd like keep my records of wrong. And then it started this whole just defeating process within me. And God reminded me, like, there is no condemnation, and we're righteous because of him. And so I think for those with the performance or even the pleasure of watching whatever it is, maybe music, whatever it may be, God really does, when you surrender it all to him, he does transform that perception. Like, even music, I'm now able to listen to music that's not Christian and be like, woo, praise God. We went to a concert Saturday. It was two guitarists and a violinist singing, and I'm just like, I could see myself just dancing with God right there. And we just had a beautiful moment. I just watched the wonderful movie, The Knight's Tale, the very end of it. And what's so crazy and so cool about it is I immediately drew a parallel of my relationship with Christ watching The Knight's Tale. And I'm like, I kid you not, I'm in tears, just crying. Because I'm like, you're so amazing, God. Like, you, the love I have with you is, nobody can compare in the world. Nothing can compare to this in the world. You keep no records of wrong, even though I'm not the greatest wife at times. And you should keep a record of wrong, but you don't. And you love me anyways. And that all came because I was watching The Knight's Tale. Like, so I love what you're saying. Like, it's, these things aren't bad, but what's the why behind it? And that's the thing I've come to do. Like, why am I going after this? And it often roots back to lack of control, identity. I really think that the most recent time of me going into performance-based kind of mindset, especially with my faith, was due to a lack of control. I had some circumstances in my life that were hard. And while I was giving it over to God, it was also really hard to just sit there. And so I think I started to go kind of back into that performance realm. And it was exhausting. I keep saying it, but it is. And then I start crying and then I start getting angry. And so, like, there's some of those emotions pop up and they kind of red flag me too. So if I do start to step into this, when I start to get some of those flesh things and emotions and responses, that's, I have learned, is a red flag. Like, hey, you're starting in here. What's going on?
Telltales.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Allison, I want to come back to you on this one. So then when it came to performance or even the pleasure side, how did you start, in what ways and what actions did you start to utilize to abide through the performance idol or the pleasure idol? And then bring it under God's umbrella, bring it under God's directions. What are some of the things that you started to do and maybe you currently do?
I think the very first thing was, and I always do this, I have to start my day in God's word. This helps me a lot. That's the biggest thing because it does communicate in real time with me, whatever's going on. A lot of prayer and a lot of surrender. Like, you will see me when this comes up, I'll be on my knees on the floor. It's almost like the weight is crushing me down onto the floor and I'm like, I can't. And I'll have that prayer and then I immediately go to his word and I start soaking in his word. I start keep having that conversation with God. And one of the biggest things I've learned with that is to show me, like, I'll go like, God, I need you to show me in your word. Like, I don't know how to handle this idol that I've got going on right now. I don't know how to let go of this. Can you show me how through your word and really transform me? And it's a prayer I prayed this morning and right away he did it. And he showed me in Galatians. And then one of the things I've also learned is to, when I am maybe wanting to go watch a movie or maybe I start to think about performance or some sort of aspect with that, I've really learned to pause and be like, why do I want to do these things? And am I feeling sad right now? So entertainment's usually if I'm stressed or sad. And so I just ask, why am I feeling sad right now? Like, am I trying to do this to fill a hole? Because if I am, I know I need to go to God right away and go sit in his word, because that's the only way it's going to get filled. And then, but if it's not, then I'm like, okay. And so I just learned to have that conversation with God in the moment to just check myself, because initially, especially with entertainment this summer, that was an idol for me. Initially, I was like, I'm going to cut this out completely. This is tripping me up. I don't want to trip up. I'm not going to do this. And then, like, I can't even tell you how many times I went back to TV. And so God slowly, like, he just was like, why are you doing this? Check yourself. Are you doing this for fulfillment? Because you're sad? You want to, what is it? You want to feel better? Or, because if it is, come to me. But if you're like, if we're good and I feel content and I have some time to sit down and just enjoy a show, I'll enjoy a show. And what's great is being in that space, I get to enjoy the show with God. So like, I'm not in there getting lost in my feelings and I don't think about him. I can sit down there, watch a movie and like have a conversation with him. And it's a more enjoyable experience because you're with somebody and it's just nice.
That was I'm looking for the right word. That was beautiful, spectacular, magnificent. The whole thing. There was so many incredible layers in there, Alice. And you know the fears, and then you're looking for an answer, and God gave you Galatians. That now is methodology that we talk about in terms of the illuminating work of the Holy Spirit. And then when you're in, and then you use the phrase in real time, God gave you his word in real time. This is the very thing that we're trying to bring to the forefront, right? That abiding in Christ, abiding in God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit enables us to be in the moment with the Lord. We get real-time answers from God and in his word. It's not, you know, it's not magic. It's the theology that scripture gives us. As you were saying that, and as we've been, you know, as you helped us prepare, Chris, with the issue of fear, and the Spirit led me to the Apostle Paul's second letter to Timothy, and he says to Timothy, continue to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Self-control in the Lord. And somebody could go, well, that sounds great, but how? How does that work? Well, again, when the Word of God is dwelling in us richly, the Spirit of God brings it back to our memories. The Bible is probably the most hyperlinked books there are. It's just you're constantly feeding off of his word. So Romans chapter 8 verse 15, we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry Abba Father. Literally, we can talk to God the Father like daddy or papa. The next verse, for the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit, our born-again spirit, that we are children of God. That's that real-time thing that you were talking about. So in place of the pursuit of materialism or pleasure or performance or anything else is this permanent, perfect, wonderful person, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who wishes to let us know he's with us at all times, at all times. Now, he's shown us how, and we discussed that and just did in a little bit. And then when Jesus says in John 15:11, abide in my love, abide in my work, and my joy will be made complete in you. Now the joy, the emotional state of contentment, peace, rest, significance, security, meaning, purpose becomes real. And and perpetual and consistent. Yep, we have our dips and our dives and we duck it sometimes, but we're on that path. And you just did it for us. You couldn't explain it better, couldn't describe it better in having just simply done it. It was awesome. I appreciate that so much.
Well, that's what being able to share this means a lot to me too, because I know, at least where I'm at, a lot of people that also wrestle with this, and there really is freedom from it all. Just true, absolute freedom. And, you know, I've had some discussions even recently and talking about, you know, had people say, well, when you wish God was right here, I'm like, but he is. I promise you, he is. You just got to be in his word.
Yeah.
And surrender it over. Like, I talk to him daily. He's right there. He responds right there. And talking to another friend, we're like, isn't it amazing how God always gives you the word exactly, like whatever he tells you to go read, it always corresponds with what you're walking through or what you're about to walk through. Like, he's always preparing. He's always guiding our steps according to his word. And it's so nice to know that he knows that, and then he gives it to you. And he's been doing that since switching over into abiding. He's been doing that all the time for me. Like Isaiah, when he wanted to teach me about the idols that I was worshiping. And then I go to Ezekiel, and then he puts me in Job, which corresponds with right now, and then tells me to go to Galatians with the issue that I was struggling with that performance issue. So he tells you where to go, and it is that real-time answer. And he's really honestly walking with us right there the whole time.
And we have to be careful not to put his answers in the box. The quiver in our liver, the rumble in our, you know, in our life that we think, oh, I feel God wants me to do this. I feel God wants me to do this. Okay. How? Explain. Well, I just have a feeling that it is. And I want to separate that out. Also separate out randomly opening the Bible, pointing to a verse and saying, God's going to speak to me in this verse. Now, God can speak to us in a verse, and every single verse we read is God speaking to us. But if you're trying to look for a solution to what, like Allison's describing, Galatians didn't come because she opens the Bible or she leaves it outside and the wind blows Galatians open. And all of a sudden, this is what she reads. This is from an abiding relationship with the Lord, communicating through prayer to find the answer. The book comes up, she goes and dives into it, not just to read it like a checklist, but to read it for the transformation and the transformative power that it has. And so, we definitely want to dispel the myth that God is just going to speak to her and say, Allison, I want you to do this. Like, that's just not in the New Testament. That's not really what we're seeing in the leading of God. Now, he did, and Ricky's talked about that before with the, you know, the specific times of inspiration or specific times in which it drove an absolute purpose for his scripture. But the scripture is fully written. He doesn't need to do that anymore. Could he? I'm sure he can. I'm sure he could also come in a theophany, you know, and appear to someone as an angel or as man. But the point is, he doesn't need to do that because he has God's word. All of his words are written. His love letters to us, his books about what he's done for us and who he is, they're all there for us to read. And every answer that we could really need, we can find in there, or we can find what we need to do in those if we don't have the right answer. But what I'm hearing is that through prayer, you're staying with him. I'm hearing that through God's word, you're able to abide through. And that's two of the pillars that we talk about with abiding, reading God's word for transformation, and Ricky used the word illumination.
Right.
Yeah, illumination comes through our prayer time with him.
Yeah, yeah. Man, you guys are saying it so well. Amen. That's what I got.
That's right. So, I mean, we see how to abide through it is very similar to how we abide through materialism. And that is by staying in God's word, not just reading it and checking it off the list of daily chores or activities that we need to do, but to truly read God's word and find meaning and purpose in it. What does he say about it? And then we can take those promises, or we can take what our identity is, seed it into our heart. Ricky, you've used the word, I've used it too, hide or to store it up in our heart. And then we have the Holy Spirit bringing that about into our mind and into each of those situations. So it's like this real time, like Allison is saying, this real time update of who we are or how to get through this circumstance.
Well said, you know. Yeah, in fact, it's, you know, King David, maybe not David, I might have that wrong. The psalmist behind Psalm 119, storing up the word of God in our heart. In fact, we point people, you know, to Psalm 119, because it's not just about the word of God inspired, which Psalm 119 in its first writing is the inspiration of God. But in Psalm 119 is vivid description of the illuminating work in a person's life of previously written scripture. So when the psalmist says, I hide your word in my heart that I might not sin against you, I think that can refer to either the moment a prophet, an apostle, was inspired, but also to the word that had come previously from another prophet or apostle or the Lord Jesus himself. And our task then is to learn from that. And so, you know, if a person listening today really wants to get a picture of what we're talking about looks like in terms of how can we know the moment by moment presence of God, because he's communicating to us through the Bible, I would really recommend that they read carefully Psalm 119 and get a great picture of it. Yeah. And I mean, it's such a fun topic to talk about too, because who doesn't like a little competition, and who doesn't like some serious pleasure, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I do. And I want to enjoy it when I do. You know, I'm not that competitive anymore on any level, really. Certainly not athletics. But I get a little competitive, you know, when I'm with my family and my grown kids and my friends, and, you know, we start, you know, poking and jabbing at each other a little bit. Or, you know, I have a friend, Jeff, who loves the Patriots, you know, and they robbed us of a second Super Bowl up here in Seattle. You know, we could have fun with that, you know, it's just so much it is. But when that becomes the sole motivator, then we're in trouble.
Then we're
in trouble. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's great.
Yeah.
So I think stopping here is a great point. I hope that all of our listeners in their own lives can take this and applicable steps, reading God's word and asking him, how does this change me? Praying with God in those situations. Like Allison, you said that those moments when those flesh responses, anger, fear, resentment, bitterness, when those pop up, they're telltales, like on a sail, or they're indicators, they're warning flags that something is not right in the heart. And therefore, I need to go to God and figure out what's happening. So then when we do that, then we ask the Lord, what's happening in my heart? And in real time, we start to talk to him and start to do a little introspection, you know, looking inside and looking, why do I feel this way? Do I have a fear of something? Where's that fear coming from? When we start to get to know ourselves in God's eyes, then we can take those to him and say, Lord, I'm just afraid I'm going to be alone. I'm just afraid people aren't going to love me because I can't do what they want me to do. Or I'm afraid that all this pain in my life right now is just going to overwhelm me. So then we take that to the Lord, and he can illuminate, or he can bring up into our mind the scripture that we've read and point us to it. And then we can find encouragement. We can find strength in those times. You know, in the Old Testament times, he was known as Jehovah Jireh, our God, the provider, right? And that's just not just food provider, though in many cases it was, because he provided manna, he provided water. But, you know, Jesus said it, man shall not live off of bread alone, but of every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So he provides in that way too. You know, that was at the temptations that Jesus had from the devil of Satan. But so we can really see God's heart in this, that he is active in our lives. And even when we see hypocrisy of other believers who are living a fleshly life, what we can do is we can represent Christ fully through our surrender. Just like we talked about Eric Liddell, you know, the surrender is a complete surrender. That's our second pillar of abiding, is to live with dependence on God through surrender and submission of our life, making our life a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, just like Romans 12:1 says. So let's pray over this. And Ricky, if you'll just pray over our readers or our listeners to read through this and to get this identity from him, and we'll close it out.
Amen. Lord, I thank you that you're right here with us. You're infinite, you're eternal, you're majestic, magnificent, the Most High God. We have no business, no right to claim anything from you. There's no part of us capable of earning a place with you. You and you alone, in your grandeur and perfection, have the grace to go with all of that, the mercy to go with all of that, to choose not to remain aloof from us, to condescend to be with us. And we thank you so much for that. That you would choose to give us your truth, share it with us so readily, and not just in the reading of the Word of God, but then as you remind us of it, because it's been stored away in our heart, our soul, our mind. Thank you for that, Father. Thank you that we don't have to be driven by materialism or pursuit of pleasure or performance, but that we can enjoy all of those things when our heart is content with you. And that's what we get, because you've called us to salvation, but you've also called us to a relationship that's real and dynamic with you. Thank you, God, for Chris and Allison, for all those who know you as Savior. We pray for those who have yet to experience the wonder of that love. We pray that they would hear the good news that you sent Jesus, Lord. Father, you sent your Son, that whoever would believe in him would never perish but have everlasting life. And then, Jesus, you added to that by saying not just everlasting life, but abundant life. We all want that. Those who don't have it yet. In your name, we give you thanks and glory. Amen.
We want to end with an important scripture that reminds us to abide in him. John 14:23, Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him." As you walk through this week, we encourage you to review the scriptures and themes we talk about and ask the Holy Spirit to team up with you to bring this information to life personally in your walk. Thank you for listening, and God bless.